Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're talking about Pentecost Sunday today. We are celebrating or commemorating this amazing event that literally gave birth to the church as we know it. It caused the supernatural to be unleashed across the globe. And people, when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you will never be the same again. Amen? Come on, if I was to get my finger and stick it into a 10,000 volt PowerPoint, do you reckon I'd go like this? That's nice. Oh, I'm feeling a little rivet in my finger. My goodness, you would be shocked from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I want to tell you this morning, in a few minutes' time, the Holy Spirit is going to break out in this place. And he wants to bring alignment to your misalignment. He wants to bring order to your chaos. He wants to bring answers to your questions. And if you're ready for it, turn to the person beside you and say, I'm ready for it. Go and tell them, I am ready for it. Right. Now, I want you to open up to Acts chapter 1 with me. Empowered by the Holy Spirit is the title of my message this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. For me, Pentecost Sunday is like, it's one of those game-changing concepts in the body of Christ. As a disciple, I think the cross, is foundational. I think the blood of Jesus is foundational. The resurrection is a core foundational concept. And I think the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is equally a core foundational principle, which we need to have in order to live the life that God's called us to live. Not a life of aimless pursuit, but powerful purpose in His ways and in His ideas and in His realm. Now, I'm at Acts 1, you're with me there. Verse 4, and we're going to read. And it says, and being assembled together, and this is Jesus with His disciples, with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, will Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? To Israel. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own power. But, can somebody say but? Give it to me again. But, right. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me in both Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus leaves. He gives them this command. I want you to go back. I want you to be prayerful. I want you to be in one accord. And I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit, because He's going to show up in your world. Don't do anything until you do. So go down to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why don't you just close your eyes and lift a hand right now? Holy Spirit, right across this place, this is your meeting. This is your service. We've come to celebrate the outpouring of You as a person. And we are hungry and thirsty to receive from You this morning. We are hungry and thirsty to see every dry place filled. We are hungry and thirsty to have an encounter with You. And Father, we may have come in one way, but we are going to leave a different way. We're going to be changed in a moment of time, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Fantastic. So what's this big deal about Pentecost Sunday? Why is this such an important reality that we need to have in our lives? Well, let me give you a brief history lesson or a quick snapshot of how we have got to be where we are now in terms of the Holy Spirit. Now, as you know, in Genesis 1, verse 2, it says that God was in the process of creating the heavens and the earth. And it says, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth, ready to do His thing. It says the earth was without form and void. In other words, there was chaos. In other words, there was no alignment. In other words, it was a massive mass of mess. And it says the Holy Spirit was brooding over the earth in order to do this, to bring order out of chaos, to bring out of misalignment. He wants to bring alignment. And I want you to let you know this morning, church, that the Holy Spirit can bring order out of chaos into your life. If you've got unanswered questions, he can bring answers that you never thought he would bring. If you've got mysteries that you don't understand, he can bring clarity into you, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. So he comes and he begins his work from the moment of creation. Now, you go forward throughout the Old Testament, and what we begin to see is the Holy Spirit momentarily comes on people. He comes on Samson. Yep. He comes on craftsmen. He anoints the king of Israel. He would anoint the judges. He would anoint certain people at certain times specifically. But the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't actually open to everybody. The average Joe Blow couldn't actually access and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The high priest could, the king could, but not you and I. And then we get to Joel chapter 2. And God begins to give you and I a snapshot into the future. He sees down the corridor of time, and he sees a vision of what he wants to do with the Holy Spirit. And I'm in, if you're in there with me, Joel 2, verse 28 and 29, the NIV. I think we've got it up on the screen. No, we don't have it up on the screen, so I'll read it to you. Here we go. And it says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on just the pastors in the church." Sorry, that's it. Afterward, I'll pour out my spirit on just the leaders. Okay. I must have a different translation to you. Is that right? No. What does it say? "I will pour out my spirit on" who? "All flesh, all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So it begins to open up a door for the possibility of what the Holy Spirit is going to do and how we can encounter him in our present day. Now go to the New Testament. John the Baptist, he is paving the way for Jesus. And he says this, "I am baptizing in water, but there's a man coming greater than I whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie." He said, he's going to come with a whole new dimension for your life. He's going to not just baptize you in water. He's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. He's going to baptize you and take you into a dimension that the body of Christ had never experienced before. And then in John 14, 16, Jesus himself says this. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Then Jesus leaves. He ascends into heaven. All of the disciples and about 120 of them rock up to that upper room that night. And the Holy Spirit gets unleashed on the earth in a way that they'd never seen before, with such depth, with such breadth, with such power, and it launched the church as we know it today. Well, that's nice. That was about 2,000 years ago. What does that mean for me today? Many people say, "Well, who is the Holy Spirit? What's this Holy Spirit all about?" Well, can I tell you this? I can tell you what he's not. He's not a mist. He's not a force. He's not a cloud. He's not some ethereal, mystical kind of person that floats around the church on Sundays. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit is a person, church. He is a he. He is real. He is more real than you and I, because he existed before you and I. He is eternal. He is part of the Godhead, and he is real, and he is a person. And the Bible says that he is your comforter. That word there is the word paraclete. It means one called alongside. And we need to realize that if we can understand and make the Holy Spirit a part of our lives and acknowledge him and create space for him, you are going to walk into a whole new dimension in your life. Because that word comforter actually means partner. Partner. He's actually your partner. One that's called along to aid you and to help you and to give you guidance. Because how many of us know that the Holy Spirit has supernatural insight into knowledge and revelation and mysteries that you and I both don't have, do we? Yep. We simply operate out of what we do know in the natural. But when we create space in our lives for the Holy Spirit, we now open a door to operate in what we don't know. We get to understand what we don't understand in our daily lives. And God wants you to see you and I that the Holy Spirit is a person that partners with you in your everyday life. He's not a Sunday Holy Spirit. He's a Monday Holy Spirit, and he's a Tuesday Holy Spirit, and he's a Wednesday Holy Spirit. And then Thursday lunchtime, he's the Holy Spirit. And when you're driving in the car on Saturday morning, he's the Holy Spirit to you. He doesn't just hover around here because of how incredibly good looking you've done yourself up for here this Sunday morning. He does it because he is real, very real. John, can I pick on you again? I picked on John in the morning service. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? John gets up Monday morning and he's driving to work. Okay, John, you off you go. Now, before you do, can everyone see John's shadow? Okay, let's just pretend up the back. He's got a shadow. He's got a shadow. Right. The Holy Spirit is your shadow partner. Okay, you didn't get that. I'll try that again. The Holy Spirit is your shadow partner. John goes to work. Off you go, John. I'm in the car with John. He's worried about that business meeting. And if he'll just open up his heart while he's driving in traffic on a Monday morning, he'll hear this by the Holy Spirit. It's all good. It's going to work out. Don't be afraid. Off he goes. He keeps walking. Yep. He's got another problem at work. And if he'll just listen to the Holy Spirit will say, you know that storm that you see is coming? Don't worry about it. It's just going to blow over. It's all good. I've already taken care of it. Now, the stress and churn in your stomach that you have going through at work because of that problem, now the problem gets alleviated. The problem still might happen. The problem still might occur, but you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and he will carry you through that situation. You see that? He's my shadow partner. He's my shadow partner. And then something goes at home. So if you finish work, you're going home, something might happen, an unexpected bill, some kind of financial situation or problem. And if John will just stop and create space for the Holy Spirit in a quiet, still voice, he will give him a strategy on how to create supernatural provision for him right there, right now, right in that spot. Because the Holy Spirit is your shadow partner. He's a person and he's very, very real. Thanks, John, for that. Give him a hand. That was pretty awesome. Right? There are many times where I think if I would just create some space for the Spirit of the living God in my work, in my world, in the car. And I'm not saying that you have to become a spiritual space cadet, right? You know what I'm talking about, those spiritual fruit loops where there's a demon behind every truck and every car and behind every book and they're seeing angels and ascending and descending above the Cocoa Pops when they're around the kitchen table. Come on, is that the person beside you? Yep, just go like that if it's them. But I'm just saying, the Holy Spirit is incredibly practical. Many times when I've got problems and challenges at work, I'll hear the Holy Spirit say, don't worry about thing. You think that's going to happen? I'm just going to turn that around. Just relax. But I create the space for that. Yeah. Now, well, Tony, how come I don't hear him like that? Well, the Bible says, Paul says this, that for us to be able to create that space and hear him like that, our spiritual senses need to be trained and developed. The more you create space for the Holy Spirit, the more you'll hear his still small voice in your work, in your family, in your relationships, whatever it is. And you find you'll be hearing things that don't make sense to the natural mind. Yep, because it's your carnal mind, but they'll make sense to your spirit. And sometimes your head will be screaming out. But if you listen to your spirit, man, if you create space and develop it, you will find you'll get answers that you never thought you could. So the Holy Spirit wants to walk with you like that Monday to Saturday, not just Sunday, because he wants to allow you in. So how do I apply this day to day? Jump forward with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. Actually, could I get the keyboardist to come back up? That would be great. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says this verse. I think we've got it on the screen. Yes, we do. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess. Yep. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read that contextually, what it actually is saying is this. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually be filled with the Holy Spirit in your life. Well, hold on, Tony. I had a wonderful encounter with the Holy Spirit in 1975. You're saying I need to be filled again? Yeah, I am saying you need to be filled again. You know why? Because you and I are leaky people. We're leaky. Think of your soul like, I don't know, a big plastic bag. And what happens is things happen to you in life. Stuff goes down. The unexpected, the unforeseen, the unplanned, the unheard of, the unseen of, tragedy, grief, loss, lack. And what happens is every time these things hit your soul, it's like someone gets a pin and puts a little prick in that bag that's got water in it. Because that water is the Spirit of God. That water is the joy of God. That water is the essence of God. And we get these little pricks, and what happens is we start to leak. Didn't get that promotion I thought I was going to get. And it just starts to leak. It just starts to leak. Yep. Tried to get that financial breakthrough that we couldn't get. Another prick just hits it. And it's just life. Sometimes these things are just life. And we start to leak. Have a relationship that breaks down, and I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to repair the relationship, and it causes a deep grief within my soul. Yep, just another prick. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves leaking all over the place. And sometimes you and I journey through these things. These things are a process in the plans and purposes of God. But this is what I know. Sometimes you have to walk through the valley. Amen. Sometimes you've got to walk through the valley. But this is what I've come to discover. While you walk through the valley and while you're leaking, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to pour back into you again on your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday, you'll be able to hold your head up and say, I'm in the middle of the valley, but I've got some joy. In the middle of the valley, I've got some peace. In the middle of the valley, I've got a situation which is freaking my head off. But you know what? I've got a calm on the inside of me. Why? He's filling your soul. You think about the word depression, depressed. And what happens to our soul is that we take a hit after hit after hit. And if we don't let the Holy Spirit bubble up in our lives regularly, we'll just compact every situation and problem, and we'll pack it and we'll pack it and we'll pack it and we'll pack it until we've got so many layers of sludge that all we feel is blackness on the inside. And the Holy Spirit wants to come, and he wants to take your blackness away this morning. You know what else it does? If we don't have the Holy Spirit flowing in our life regularly, that bag will actually run out and you'll have a dry soul. You'll actually have a dry spirit. And what you used to laugh at, you won't laugh at anymore. The things that you used to enjoy, you won't enjoy anymore. But you know what I've discovered? The Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit of joy. He's a spirit of joy. And there are some people in this place this morning, and you know what? He wants to bring some joy back into your life. He wants you to laugh again because some of you have stopped laughing. There are people in this place, he wants you to dream again because you've stopped dreaming. And I'm speaking that by the Holy Ghost. You've stopped dreaming. There is a dry riverbed on the inside of you. And you think, God, if I could just get through this, if I could just stop the dryness and the leaking. And he's come to you this morning and say, this is the day of Pentecost. And this is the day when I want to fill every room of your heart. I want to fill every room in your life, because your life is like that. There's so many of these different rooms in our life. And he wants to come into every dry place, and he wants to bring life-giving water into it. Now, you can go to counseling and you can go to psychologists, and I believe in them and God uses them. But I want to tell you right now, one moment, an encounter with the living God by his Holy Spirit can change your life forever. Amen. Come on, won't you give him a hand this morning if you believe that?
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.